Welcome, great people, to Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson.
And as I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do this show is because one time when I was in France, Paris, actually, I saw somebody sporting a Captain America t-shirt. Awesome. Now, clearly, Marvel comic movies rule the superhero box offices all around the world, but it's not like I see somebody donning a Français de la Capitaine shirt over here, let alone a Captain Britain one. Why? Because there is no such thing. It's Captain America. So yeah, that's one of the many reasons as to why I do this show. Hey, don't forget to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. And let me know what your take is on today's episode. This is an interactive show, folks, so get involved if you would please. Your comments and questions are always appreciated. So thank you for that. I assembled this podcast in a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now let's begin the show as we customarily do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. And now on to today's program. News of Martin Luther King's assassination hits the headlines. McClellan lands a siege during the Peninsula Campaign. The Rosenbergs are found guilty. Ben Franklin will publish a letter to Lord North. And Kurt Cobain commits suicide. All right, so let's get started. 1988. Happy birthday, Kathy. Kathy's my baby girl. My oldest daughter. Happy birthday to... Okay, sorry, I'll stop. It's all good. I'll just call you later and sing it to you. Love you, kid. Meanwhile. 1968. Here are the headlines. New York Daily News. Martin King slain by sniper. Seattle Times. President plans plea to Congress as violence follows King slain. Atlanta Constitution. Dr. King shot, dies in Memphis, curfew on, 4,000 guards called. Yesterday, I discussed how James Earl Ray was caught in London and would face 99 years in an American prison for the assassination. But let's face it, many Americans, especially the King family, believe Ray was innocent and did not fire the fatal bullet from a Remington 760 with Ray's fingerprints all over it into MLK's chest. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover and his bureau had a list of scandals that even freaked out President Johnson, but it's unknown exactly as to who was the one who fired the bullet. Coretta King herself said after Ray's guilty verdict, quote, "There is abundant evidence of a major, high-level conspiracy in the assassination of my husband," unquote. Actually, a witness and New York Times reporter named Earl Caldwell mentioned that he saw a man shuffling around in thick bushes right outside Jim's Grill's bathroom. Curiously, on this day in 1968, first thing in the morning, actually, Memphis Public Works employees took out those thick bushes that may have involved the possible crime scene. And that Remington Game Master probably didn't kill King. A day after the verdict, Ray was already requested to take back his guilty plea, as he stated he was set up by the FBI. As time went on in prison, Ray befriended Pastor and one of King's mentors, James Lawson. Ray told him a guy named Raul was behind it, but when investigators caught up to this guy, Raul, who is a car mechanic in Yonkers, New York, he denied any involvement. And let's not forget the owner of Jim's Grill, a fellow named Lloyd Jowers, who kept quiet for about 25 years, and then came out saying that he saw a police officer in the bushes just outside the bathroom of his restaurant. While none of King's family members believed Ray was the killer, they disagree on whether Hoover was behind it or not, and how directly. And the conspiracy rages on. 1862 now. George B. McClellan lands in Yorktown for the Peninsula Campaign. The campaign actually began in March with Major General McClellan's goal of capturing Richmond from the Confederates, and things were looking good for the Union Army against General Joseph E. Johnston. But Robert E. Lee's forces demolished McClellan's later in the 7 days battle. On April 5th, McClellan lands in Yorktown, Virginia, and established siege lines instead of going for the direct attack. All right, moving on to 1951. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg are found guilty of espionage in a high-profile case for delivering top-secret U.S. documents to the Soviet Union regarding the atomic bomb. The Rosenberg couple was sentenced to death, but Ethel's brother David Greenglass got off a lot easier. Greenglass, as it turns out, was the one who supplied the documents to Julius from Los Alamos, and he served 10 years. Harry Gold, who identified Greenglass, got 15 in the federal prison, and German scientist Klaus Fuchs served 9 years. Later on in 1995, the U.S. government released decoded sets of cables, codenamed Venona, from the Soviets, and it was discovered that, in fact, there was no concrete link involving Ethel's participation. David Greenglass simply pointed the finger at his sister, but later admitted that he blamed Ethel to protect his own wife, Ruth, who was the real typist of the classified documents he stole. Morton Sabell, who is also involved, got 17 years and admitted that he was a spy for the Soviet Union. And Ethel was not. Regardless, in 1953, Ethel and Julius fried in the electric chair. Moving back now to 1774, Ben Franklin published a letter to British Prime Minister Lord North from Smyrna Coffee House in London. Remember, class, this is 1774 now. In the letter, he mocks the English crown by saying that Lord North should impose martial law on the North American colonists and sell the whole thing to Spain, colonists and all. He signed it, a friend of the military government, essentially making fun of the king. Well, Franklin thought this was really funny, and Lord North thought it was actually a great idea, except for the whole selling it to Spain part. Lord North did impose martial law a month later in Massachusetts, and guess where that led? That's right. The British lost 13 colonies in North America. And finally, 1994. Kurt Cobain commits suicide at his home in Seattle and is found by his electrician 3 days later. There are books written about the lead singer of Nirvana and his wife Courtney Love that suggests she was behind the murder and hired someone to do it. But police investigators ruled it as a suicide. And frankly, I'm not really sure why Courtney would even be motivated to kill him in the first place. I mean, his life was already spinning out of control. He had just checked himself into a rehab and then walked out a few days later without telling his friends or family. And Courtney couldn't even find him. And the next person that did finally find him was Kurt's electrician.
And that's it, my friends, for April 5th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Want to hear what you thought about today's program? Laker fans, how about that 1984 game against Utah Jazz? Civil War buffs, do you have any Peninsula Campaign memorabilia you can talk about? Cold War fans, is there a conspiracy theory that I possibly missed in the Rosenberg story? Revolution news, did Lord North take Ben Franklin's letter too seriously? Nirvana fans, how badly do we miss Kurt Cobain? At least David Grohl is getting along with Courtney Love from what I hear these days. Oh, and by the way, if you want to wish my daughter Kathy a happy birthday, I'm sure she'd love to hear that. Just send it all to the comment board on joesdailyushistorylesson.com. It's wide open. And on tomorrow's program,
I'll talk about DNA, a documentary writer,
and psycho-osteopath Sam Shepard dies. So until then, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone, and thanks for listening.